Welcome to the All Nations Church of Luxembourg podcast.
To All Nations Church Luxembourg, and we're glad to have you here with us. We invite you to please stand as we sing songs of praises and worship to the Lord.
You may be seated. And grace and peace to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And welcome to worship at All Nations Church. It's good to see you this morning. We've got the windows open. It's sunshine's coming in. It feels a little bit more like spring. Hopefully new life. We're headed toward Easter. All a good thing. If you're new here, you're new to our community, new to Luxembourg, we especially welcome you. Or if you haven't been here in a while, welcome back. And I would invite you, if you'd like, to stop at the table on the back. You can sign up for the weekly update, connect with Church Center. You can also give us your information so that we can contact you. We want, in so many ways, to help you find your home here at All Nations Church. One of the big things that's happening right now, where a lot of people are finding their home at ANCL, is the Ladies' Getaway is happening. This is their last day. They began Friday. There's 58 women there, so we can hold them in our prayer. And you may notice as well, actually, as I look out, not so much, that it was like, is it male heavy today? No, most of the guys are maybe staying home too. And I also want to let you know that there is no children's ministry in the 9:30 service because of that, because so many of the teachers are away. But it looks, as I look at it, it looks like everyone got that message. But there will be children's ministry at the 11 a.m. service. So we hope the women are having a great time together. And if you're feeling left out as a guy, good news, we have guys' night this Friday. At the Friday the 8th, starting at 7:30 p.m. This is at Cafe Independent in the center. And this is just an informal time to come together, to have some food and drink. I'm really, the goal here is about building relationships, just helping guys get to know another, make friendships, which frankly can often be hard in many contexts, and also that just helps us all feel more part of the community. So all guys are invited to that. I'll be there, as were several others who already signed up. It's helpful if you sign up, not necessary, but if you can sign up on Church Center, it helps us know how many to expect. The following Friday, the 15th of March, we will have our next worship night here. This is a time of extended singing, of reading some scripture. It's a time where you can come and sing, or you can listen. You can just be in a little bit different, more extended worship environment. If that's something you love, well, then I probably don't need to tell you about that. But if it's something you've never done, I would invite you to come. It's as I said last week, something that I really enjoy. I just enjoy being there. I enjoy the atmosphere. The feeling of it, and I would invite you into that as well. It's a great way to start the weekend. Also, we'll have some snacks and drinks following that, so we can just hang around and enjoy being together. Finally, well, not quite finally, we'll have a membership class on the 24th of March. This is an opportunity for all of those who have been here for a while and are kind of starting to feel like, I think this is my church, and I like to describe it as the movement of going from, like, those people to us. Like, yes, you know, I am kind of a part of this church. I seem to be a member of the body of Christ. Maybe I should officially join the church. If you'd like to discern that, or if you're even just curious what that means, or if you're sure, yes, this is a step I want to take in any case, we'll invite you to that. That'll be after the 11 a.m. service on the 24th of March. It is helpful if you sign up on Church Center for that, so that we know. And we will provide some lunch too, so that's why that's helpful. Now, finally, we've started something new. It's kind of happened organically. There were several people in the church who, and there's probably more, but these people gathered together for prayer. They felt like, you know, we just want to get together and pray because we believe that prayer is important. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer is being in relationship with God. And they're praying for a people in the church. They're praying for our church, Luxembourg, the world. They're praying for all these things, holding them in prayer. If that's something that interests you, if you would like to gather with others to pray, they're meeting primarily on Zoom. This is on Mondays at 8 p.m., but they're also occasionally meeting in person. Teresia is one of the spearheads of that. You probably know who she is. You can speak to her. You can speak with me. All that information is also on Church Center about how you can connect with that. So if you would like to pray, or if you just, you know, if that even sounds kind of interesting, just check it out. One Monday doesn't mean you have to come back for eternity. Just check it out. Gather together to pray. That's a good thing. I invite you now to stand as we continue to worship. We will hear another passage where Jesus speaks the words, I am, and he says, I am the good shepherd. In light of that, hear these words from Psalm 28. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the sound of my pleadings. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. So I am helped and my heart exults. And with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever.
To end. Fast. delight. The precious in His holy sight. We're having a moment where we are going to receive the offering as a part of our worship this morning. The children and the youths are staying with us today.
Let us pray. We join together with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven to worship you, Lord God, for you are the everlasting Father, the Ancient of Days, who lives forever and ever. We give you our praise and adoration, for you are God Almighty, whose faithfulness surrounds you forever. Thank you for the Lord's Supper that we share this morning. Thank you for the love that led our Good Shepherd to sacrifice his life for the sheep and for the victory over sin and death that each Sunday celebrates. Thank you that we can share in that victory, that you are not willing that any should perish, but wish for all to come to repentance. Thank you for this church, for its leaders and workers, for many acts of grace and generosity that radiate from it to touch many lives in Luxembourg and beyond its borders. Thank you for the signs of new life that we see around us at this time of year. Thank you for the way in which you have brought us together to serve one another. Lead us to look for opportunities to ease the burdens of others and help us to receive kindnesses with grace. We acknowledge that we have no power to help ourselves. We ask you to keep us outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, and to defend us from all evil through Jesus Christ our Lord. Give us compassion for those who are lonely and abandoned. Show us, we pray, what we need to do to be present for them in the desert places of their lives. Let us understand that even when relief and healing seem far off, you share in our worst experiences. We fix our trust on you, Lord, and ask you to be our everlasting guide, healer, and friend. We pray for those who have been affected by disasters, accidents, and violent incidents across the world. We ask that you would strengthen those working to ease suffering. We pray for those caught up in the conflicts in the world, in Yemen, in Gaza, in Ukraine, and ask that your peace and justice would reign. We worship you, Lord, and ask that by your holy inspiration, we may think those things that are good, and by your merciful guidance, we may perform the things that are good through the days ahead. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Scripture reading for this morning is from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I'm the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as a father knows me, and I know the Father. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life, so I take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. There in the reading of the word of the Lord.
I imagine if you and I could go back in time, so it might be kind of a fun thought, go back in time, and we would say to someone, hey, I'm, you know, from 200 years ago, and they'd look at you and maybe go, really? Well, okay, what's it like? And then you would start to describe and tell them what life is like now, and say people fly in the sky. Now they fly, you know, not with wings, but they go in these little aluminum tubes, and they go, aluminum, what's that? And with these engines on, these jet engines, and what's that? And they would probably look at you and go, really? I don't think so. And you might think of, they might say, in this disease over here, that you can cure, in where I'm from, you can cure it with a pill. What's a pill? Right? You start to see that, you know, as you think about what it means to believe, you know, someone who comes from a different place and tells us those things, sometimes it can be hard to believe. There's no real reference for people flying, except for maybe witches or fairy tales, right? And that's not really a good thing. Or deadly diseases being taken care of with a pill. And the list would be long on why this would not make sense. How much more when Jesus comes to us to tell us what God is like, what heaven is like, what God's ways are? how much more distance is there between our lives or these people's lives and the life of God, right? And a lot of times I think we kind of, as we interact with this, we think, you know, I mean, why did Jesus do it this way? Why didn't he come like in this great power? Why didn't he, you know, we've seen enough Marvel movies and all kinds of superpower people and stuff like that. Why didn't he just combine all these things and kind of show up that way and people would say, ah, yes, of course, God, that's who you are. I got it. And if you think back at different times in various ways, you think about before the Exodus and the plagues, God showed up in powerful and clear ways, and it didn't lead to belief. So it may be one of the things that there's part of the fun of being a Christian, part of the fun of growing, is to go and ask ourselves, why did God decide this was the best way? Instead of doubting that this is the best way, to explore, why is it the best way that God would come as a baby, would grow up among us, would come and teach and heal, would come and share through these different words, these different analogies, these things that would connect so that he could reveal the I am, that he is God and this is what God looks like. That although God is shrouded in mystery, he explains God's work. What is he doing in the past? What is he doing now? And what is he doing in the future? That he is bringing us back and he is revealing that through Jesus. Why was this the best way? As God looked at all the options, why was this the best way to do that? It's worth us taking time to think about. Jesus used, when he spoke to people, he used concepts that they knew to bridge to things that they didn't yet understand. And that's a good way if you try to explain to someone what life is like in Luxembourg that maybe lives far away, trying to find something in their experience, in their culture that connects, that sort of helps, is the way to go. And that's what Jesus does again and again with these I am messages. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the gate and the good shepherd. I am the true vine, et cetera, throughout John, where he's revealing that I'm God. And here's a symbol from your history, or this is a symbol from your religion, or this is a reality of your life, shepherds and sheep, that you know and you can understand and you can connect what God is like, who I am and what's happening. So each illustration, image that he gives here, Jesus is telling us who he is and what is offered through him. He is making in this image a declaration and an invitation. This is who I am. This is what I'm coming for. Will you come with me? Every encounter with Jesus is an invitation. It always finishes that way. It either leaves with faith and trust, it leads others to doubt and disbelief. But it is a decision point for people then, it is a decision point for people now when you encounter Jesus. We have to decide. We can't sit on the fence. I want to give you three ways to kind of understand this passage, to pull this passage together that gives us, I think, a fuller sense of what is going on here. The first is to know that it follows the healing of the man who was born blind. The controversy that happened after that. Jesus, we talked about this last week. Jesus healed this man who was born blind, and then he went and told people. This people in his community saw it, and he talked to the Pharisees, and they asked, who did this? And he said, Jesus. And he said, this can't be. They're trying to find any way not to believe in Jesus. And so this context of the story that Jesus tells of who are the true sheep, how do they know? How can you tell? And what is the right way? Who are the ones that are there for God's people and who are the ones that are against God's people have to fit within this context. It makes the most sense. The Pharisees and the Jewish believers didn't believe that Jesus healed this man because if they did, it would require them to embrace him as the Messiah. And then they would lose their authority and their power. And so they found ways not to do that again and again and again. The first image also, this is the second thing that helps us understand this passage, I am the gate of the sheep pen, is confusing to people as they first hear it. Like, you know, you're a gate in a sheep pen. What does that mean? And so Jesus uses the rest of the passage, 7 through 18, to explain, to expand on those themes, and he uses then the I am the shepherd, and he brings these two together to try to help clarify for them, to help it make more sense to them. So that's a good way to look at this, as opposed to this is completely separate, the I am the gate, the I am the shepherd, that they're actually very much together. And both images, the third part, Jesus separates himself from other people. Other people who came before him were thieves and robbers. Others that are not the shepherd are just a hireling. They're just hired to take care of the sheep. And as long as they just have to do the regular stuff, they're okay. But when push comes to shove, when danger comes, and it's their life or the sheep, they're like, hey, sorry, guys, but I wanna come back tomorrow. And that's the way they go. It tells us that the sheep know, that Jesus knows his sheep and they know him. They know his voice and they respond. And you can think of the blind man in chapter 9 as a great example of this, right? And other people that have before have a great example, someone who knows the voice of Jesus. Even though he gets thrown out of the synagogue, even though the Pharisees, you know, treat him awful in a terrible way, as someone who just had an incredible miracle happen to him, you know, that now he can see, he still believes in Jesus. Even though he's kicked out of the synagogue, he's kicked, in a sense, out of the community. He's an outcast. And Jesus speaks in this context. The first image, and we're going to talk about the two images, of the image of I am the gate. And again, I am is that phrase that is reflecting back to Exodus when God says, Moses says, God, I'm going to deliver the people. Who should I say sent me? He says, say, I am sent you. So Jesus is using this intentionally to point to his deity, that he and the Father are the same, that they are listening to God in front of them. But he says, I am the gate. And for us, I don't know about you, I'm not really that familiar with sheep. I've had a border collie, so that's about as close as I get. But some of you know a little bit more about sheep or have watched sheep. But this audience would have connected very well with this reality of sheep and sheep pens, this place that the sheep would come at night, oftentimes that would be surrounded, but would have a wall of stone and then have thorns that were broken off of thorn bushes that were put on the top. And so, an animal couldn't get over, a person couldn't easily get over, and so the sheep would be safe. And so the gate is that place of opening where the sheep could go out, and also that place that closes and keeps the bad things in, right? So it leads them out to all that they need, and it protects them from all that can bring harm to them. The sheep would go out, and they would go into the sheep pen at night for when there was danger, when it was highest. And then when the shepherd arrived in the morning, he would take the sheep out to drink and to eat and to exercise. The gate was the way. And this is Jesus' point. The gate was the way to have safety and to have provision. He says, I am the way that the sheep, God's people, have both protection and provision, which reflect the covenant that he's given, that they have what they need. The contrast between the shepherd and the thieves is how they get into the pen, right? That the shepherd comes up and the person who's watching the sheep overnight knows them and says, good, you can come through. They come through the legitimate way, the shepherd does. Where the thieves and the robbers, come at the night and they come over the top and they try to grab a sheep and they pull it out. You know, I was thinking today it'd be kind of a fun little cartoon of a robber kind of looking over the sheep, and the sheep is there kind of saying, I woke up early, I'm kind of bored, I've got nothing to do, and he psst, psst, from over the top and say, hey, you want to get out? Well, yeah, but it's a little early. Well, I can help you out, I can help you. Well, if I don't have to sit here. Yeah, well, here, let me grab you and just pull you up and out, and next thing you know, it's roast lamb, right? That's what Jesus is saying. So feel free to go make that cartoon, okay, and show it to me. But that's the idea the reality that they faced, and that Jesus is saying, when you come in, because there's a gate, you're protected. And because there's a gate, there's a way out to life, a way out to be nourished, to be cared for in this present moment, in this time that is here. The contrast is the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And when they hear it, when his sheep hear his voice, they follow. They do what he says. This image and the next image, we need to imagine actually a lot of sheep in a pen. This was probably not a pen just for this shepherd's sheep, but probably all the sheep in the area would go in this pen. And so the shepherd would come and he would call out his sheep. All the sheep that are there are not his sheep. He's not calling, and so some will not respond. Some will go, no, you're not the right shepherd. And he says, in the same way, I will call my sheep, and my sheep will hear my voice, and my sheep will come. They'll respond. They'll know who I am. They will see who I am, and they will listen, and they will follow. And they won't follow someone else, because they know who I am. And it's wonderful where he says, I know them by name. You know, it's a nice little touch Jesus uses. And oftentimes shepherds would do this. They'd have different names for different sheep, and they would call them, and the sheep would know their name. But it meant the shepherd knew. You know, here's Dirty Head, who always gets dirty, right, on their head, you know. Or here's Limpy, you know, who always limps around but always finds a way to get there. And so, you know, he calls them by name. And he's saying, my people I call by name. I know them. And I speak to them. And they know me. And so they'll follow me. And when they follow, they come out, and they come out to be able to enjoy the life that they were created for. That's the point of coming out. Is Jesus is giving them this life that they were created for, that we were created for. That's what he's come to do. That's the idea of the gate. It protects, and it provides. It's the way of protection, and it's the way of provision. And of course, this was a difficult thing, and they didn't really completely understand that. But he's saying that not everyone in the sheep pen, not all of Israel, are the people, are my people. And you'll know because those who hear and see what I do will believe, like the blind man. And some will not believe, like the Pharisees and the religious leaders. Because they don't belong. They had the opportunity, and they chose not to believe. They chose not to exercise faith. So Jesus is the gate. He is the way which we must pass to have the provision of God, the safety of God. He is that way. He is the way that we receive it. It's not some other way. Jesus says every other way is like a thief and a robber. They're not there for you. They're not really there to help you. They want to steal and take the sheep for themselves. And historically, the religious leaders were to be the gates and to be the shepherds. They were to be the watchmen on the towers who were watching to make sure that Israel would be safe and that things would be called. That God talks to the leaders as, you are the watchmen. You are to keep watch for the benefit of the sheep. But they didn't do it. Isaiah 56:10 talks about this. They were called to be the shepherds of Israel, the under-shepherds. But Ezekiel 34 tells us that they didn't do it. They were awful at it. They didn't take care of the sheep. They just took care of themselves, and they abused the sheep to get what they wanted. And so we have this image of something that should have been, that wasn't, and then Jesus comes to be what they should have been and more. He comes to reveal, this is God's care. I am the gate. I am your way in to salvation. I am your way into life. That's who I am. There is no other way in. He is, in a sense, saying to the Pharisees. And he is, in a sense, saying to the blind man, you've picked the right man. The man who could not see believed, had sight, and picked the right way. And the ones who could see and knew the most didn't believe. And they picked the wrong way. The second image we have here is of the shepherd. And it again continues to have this idea of being known, and that Jesus knows his sheep, and that they know him, that they come out again from these different flocks. He calls them and they follow. And this is a clear picture in their mind. This would be something they would have seen again and again and again. Just kind of as they were going along, see the shepherd call the sheep out, or the shepherd have the sheep go, and they go, oh yeah, that's just normal. But see, Jesus grounds their understanding of who he is into their present reality, so it makes sense to them, or it can make sense to him who he is. And the imagery in the Old Testament of God as shepherd is rich. No surprise. Genesis 49:10 talks about the shepherd of Israel. Logan had us do a call to worship that talked about God being the shepherd of his people. Psalm 23 You probably know it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Right? He leads me out into green pastures. And so they would have had these images. Psalm 78:52 says this: He led his own people like a flock of sheep, guiding them safely through the wilderness. In other words, the Exodus. Jesus connects himself to these well-known imageries of God, God at work with his people. God is the shepherd. And Jesus comes and says, I am the shepherd. I am the shepherd. The one was spoken about in the Old Testament, the one who led you in the past, is here before you now. You must decide. Can you hear my voice? Will you believe? Will you follow? And here we contrast between the hired person who's there to look after the sheep with the true, in other words, the good shepherd. Really, a great, better translation might be the true, the ultimate shepherd. The hired person will do a great job until the wolf appears. And then he looks at the sheep, he looks at the wolf, he looks for the exits. The good shepherd, he says, the true shepherd will stay. Whether it's a wolf or a wolf pack, he will stay. He will risk his life for the safety and the future of the sheep. That's the difference. He says everyone else before is like a robber, a thief, or like a hireling. They run in fear when danger is there, but the good shepherd will not. And then he shows and tells, and I'm not going to run. In fact, I will die for you. I will die so that you can be protected, so that you can go out into this life and have a life with God, with all the blessings and benefits now and forever, in the midst of the challenges and struggles and difficulties and dangers that are still present. But I will be there for you to protect you and to provide. Jesus is the true shepherd. He secures these things for us. And we learn and discover it is through his death that he does it. But it's interesting in this passage, he says, I have the authority to lay down my life, and I have the authority to pick it up. Nobody's going to take it from me. I voluntarily give it for the sheep, for you, for me. I'm assuming that you're here today because you've heard the voice of God. You've heard the voice of the true shepherd, and you've responded. You've said, I want to live with you. I believe. And you come out and you follow the shepherd, that you obey him. You embrace Jesus as your Savior, as your God, as the one who you follow. But if that's not you today, if you happen to be here for whatever other reason, you're exploring, someone brought you, who knows, then today is your day. Today is your day to acknowledge Jesus as that good shepherd, or to explore him as the true shepherd, the one who you need to follow. Because there is no other way to life. And we explore a lot of ways, but there is no other way to life than through Jesus and through embracing him as our Savior and our God. Three things I'd encourage you to remember from this passage. The first is to listen to the voice of Jesus and to follow. That is what marks his sheep. They hear, they know, and they listen, and they follow. And as we think about what does that mean for us, I would say this, that there are three ways that we follow, that we hear the voice of God. We hear God, the voice of God, through the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. We hear the voice of God through the Holy Spirit. And we hear the voice of God through his people, his spirit-empowered people. And those three ways keep us safe. Sometimes you might get someone to say, you know, they read a passage and say, this is what it says, and they're very dogmatic about it, but they haven't read some other passages that say some other things. Or someone who's wiser and has been in the faith longer and has experienced some challenges says, well, yes, but remember this. Someone might say, the Holy Spirit told me. And it could have been. But it might have been what they had last night for dinner, right? There's no signal that goes across and say, that was Holy Spirit, and it's not. And so we need the scriptures, and we need the people of God to confirm and to affirm them. And as we know that, those things, we can hear the voice of God. We can know this is God speaking, and I will follow what God has to say. And as we follow, we experience the restored life with God, both now and in the future. So remember to listen. Remember to follow. There will be other voices. There will be that person saying, hey, do you want to get out of the pen sooner? I have a way. That's not Jesus' way. The second thing is, just as Jesus called us and we heard to follow his voice, we heard him, he is calling other people. He is calling other people to come as well. And as they hear his voice, they will want to follow and have life and have the privileges and benefit of Jesus. They, through us, will hopefully see and hear the voice of God and find the blessed life that God promised. And we need to be those that are ready to speak about what we know, to share our experience, the highs and the low, and how God is with us in those things, that he does not desert us. The ways and the times we've heard his voice and seen his faithfulness. In our words, in our actions, we want to point other people to the true shepherd, to their gate, to the shepherd of their soul, who is Jesus. And I guess just lastly, just to remember that as sheep, we owe everything. We owe everything to the true shepherd. If he did not lay his life down for us, we would not have life. We would be devoured. But because he laid his life down for us, out of love for the Father and love for us, we have life. Everything we have is because of Jesus. Everything we will have in the future is because of Jesus. We are alive, not just physically, but alive to God, alive to this new reality, alive to a life of walking with and living in this new kingdom because of what Jesus has done for us. And because we heard it, and we said, I believe it. And because of that, we have life. Let us not forget that. Let us not let that pass or move into the past, in the background of our lives, but let us bring it to the fore. And today, as we come to communion, we have a chance to remember that, that we come because the Good Shepherd gave his life, his body, his blood, so that we might come through that gate, so that we might be led by the Good Shepherd, so that we might have the life that God intends for people to have, a life restored to him, a life of love. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, we give you thanks for the words, the illustrations, the images that Jesus gave. We are amazed as we think about that this was the best way for people to come to know who you are, what you're like. We can imagine all kinds of other scenarios, but they are not as good from your perspective, and you are right and we're wrong. So help us to embrace them. And we thank you that Jesus is that way through life. We thank you that as we've embraced Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, that because of him, we have life now. Help us to live as people who are alive, who know the Good Shepherd, the true Shepherd, and who follow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, I want to invite you to come to the table. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're invited to this table. As you may have noticed, we've gone back to the dipping of the bread into the cup. If you're not quite ready for that, we still have a few, not a lot, but a few individual cups of juice or wine. You can use that. But if you're ready, we hope that you'll take advantage of the time, the opportunity to dip again. Just a reminder that this meal is a meal that is here to nourish us and to remind us of God's presence and God's power of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus says in Matthew 26, as he gave this meal to the disciples, he says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. And he broke it to pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat it, for this is my body. And he took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it, and he gave it to them, and he said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. This meal is a reminder of the blessing that we have in Christ. A broken body, his blood spilled for us, so that we might have all the benefits, all the safety, and all the provision of God in our life. So when you're ready, come with thankful hearts for the Savior who has given so much for you. When you're ready, come.
invite you to stand up and to sing Psalm 23 with us.
True shepherd. He is your true shepherd. Listen to what he says and follow where he goes. And as you do, everything you need will be there. Go in the knowledge of God's great love, which comes to you in Jesus, who is the I Am, who is God and our great shepherd. And know that the Spirit is there to guide and give you peace and hope and to take you through the valleys and amongst the peaks. Go in his love and live with him, the good shepherd. Amen. Thanks so much for being here today. Have a great, great week out in God's pasture. Take care.
Come away with me in the garden of rest. Come away with me to the garden and rest. I am here with you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. He makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name, for his grace.
Thanks for listening. For more information, please visit allnationschurch.com.